Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. This is going to be a female episode. A brother came to me and said, can you make an episode about having a nervous or scared wife, mostly about the end time events or this eclipse that will happen here soon? This teaching or this episode is going to offend you. You may take offense. Since I don't know this brother's woman, and since I don't know the wives or the women that you guys are habitating with, I gotta basically throw darts at a dartboard blindfolded. So if it's your type of woman, then you understand. If it's not your type of woman, don't need to get offense. And if you are that type of woman, you shouldn't get offended. And if you're not that type of woman, then you shouldn't get offended either. Truly. Now, when it comes to women and wives or whoever y'all take to yourselves, the reason why women, and I'm speaking in generality, the reason why most women are scared is because all of their life, they've been told by the world what to be scared of. Women have been in a relationship with the world more than they've been in relationship with the Most High Yahuwah, and more than they've been in a relationship with a man of authority or a man of Yahuwah. They have not seen it. They have been in this world longer. So regardless if they are awakened or unawakened, their natural or visceral reaction to trauma is to absorb it, because all the women in this generation loved victimhood. When it comes to being healed, when it comes to being strong, there's no conversation for it. Women don't go into group chats with each other and talk about how strong they're being and what they've conquered, because it's cringy. Once you conquered something, you pretty much move on and know you can conquer the next thing. Even if it comes with setbacks, pitfalls, snares, and stumbling blocks, you know, okay, I defeated something problematic and I think I can do it again. So why do I need to go outsource my misery? And the reason why women love playing the victim and they love not taking accountability is because there is an audience for victimhood in this generation. There is an audience for it. Look at all the videos you see. Women can't wait to tell their relationship problems, and they're always going to tell it from one side, which is their side. Because they know if they tell it a certain way, all these women across the world will sympathize and will relate to the fact that women don't know how to take accountability for the men they date, the situations they put themselves in. Because women, since the day they were born, were told that you are good. You are a peaceable young woman. You are good. Nothing should ever happen to you. That's what this world tells women. Nothing should ever happen to you. You are a good person. The traumas, the pitfalls, the stumbling blocks, it's always somebody else's fault. If you date a man who's an alcoholic and he turns around and beats you, it's not your fault that you picked an alcoholic. It's because he can't cope with his issues. That's how women flip it. That's why women go in and out in these same relationships that lead nowhere. Because there is an audience for them complaining about it. So the reason why women or wives will be scared in this generation is because they have more of attachment to the world, a more fear of the world than they actually have the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. And there's really nothing you could do about it, fellas, but to continue to lead with authority, to lead fearless, and just pray and hope that energy would rub off on them. But it's going to be an uphill battle. Trust me, it's an uphill battle. Because you're not only combating the emotions of your wife or the emotions that she's absorbing from other people's posts, but you actually are fighting against childhood trauma, whatever traumas they put themselves in or didn't put themselves in and happened to them. You are battling with that. And you don't know how far back that goes. It's like once you open up one door, two doors appear. When you open up those two doors, six doors appear. It's a never-ending pit. I understand you. It's a never-ending pit with these women. Even when they see you demonstrating strength, demonstrating fearlessness, instead of wanting to be equal to you with that type of energy, that's where the disrespect comes from. Because you're not being compassionate. You're not showing grace. There's always something they dig at you for you to be fearless, for you to be strong. Instead of trusting the Most High Yahuwah and trusting in that fear of Him, which removes the fear of this world, they won't do it. They won't do it. And a lot of it comes from disrespect. A lot of it comes from the disrespect of man in general. If your woman is scared because of what happened in this world, she doesn't have a natural fear of the Most High Yahuwah. She may say she does. She may act like she does. But at the end of the day, anybody who is scared about things that's going to come truly does not have the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. Truly does not. And that starts with the respect. See, men, we've been wild and reckless in this world, throwing risk to the wind. We understand not having a fear of something. But when we are awakened, we come back to this Torah, we feel that shame that the Most High could have offed us for all the behaviors that we did or all the sins that we piled upon our souls. And we understand in this generation, when everything is moving fast, so is the judgment. So is the reaping and sowing. So we understand that respect of the Most High, because we have so many examples in Scripture that will make us be in fear. So that fear comes from a sense of respect. So we respect the Most High to a degree where we are in fear of Him because we know what He could do. Women don't have these many stories in Scripture about not having fear or being fearful when you be disobedient or you show no respect, because it's always talking about the man. And like I said before, women haven't been in righteous relationships all their lives, so they're not understanding of this particular fear and particular respect. Now, I'm not saying your woman doesn't respect you, but I'm saying being in a relationship, you're going to be respected by your woman, because she hasn't grown with that type of respect and fear of anybody. If she doesn't know the respect of the Most High Yahuwah, why would you think she would respect and fear you? Even though you could be leading perfectly right, it would always happen, that certain disrespect. They hold on to when you disrespect them longer than them holding on when you do things right. You do something for them, oh, it's about gone in a week. But let you do something wrong or disrespectful for them, to them, oh, they hold on to that for the next 2 or 3 months, if not years. Because the mindset of women in this generation, like I said before, is nothing should ever bad happen to them. And if it happens to them, then it's never their fault. They should never be accountable for the behaviors or the reactions of situations they place themselves in. I had one brother I talked about how his wife talks to him crazy. Crazy. And he's trying to do everything right. That's because these particular type of women are trauma-bonded from the relationships they had before. So they're used to men snapping. So when a man snaps or shows too much emotion, that is when the emasculation happens. Like, oh, you did all this. You blowing up at me. You screaming at me. You yelling at me. And that's where they lose respect for you. That's why they get you to that point. Because mind you, the familiarity with you causes a lack of respect. You see how attentive your woman can be when somebody else is talking, another male dropping information. She'll never say anything against this individual. But let you say the same information. They're interjecting. They saying they're giving you a different opinion. They on the opposite side of the aisle saying, nah, this ain't right. But when it comes to somebody else they listening to that they don't know, they show them a higher respect than they do you. And it shouldn't be surprising to you because that's what Yahushua went through. When he says, the prophet is without honor in his own country or in his own household. It's the familiarity aspect of that. So your woman is showing respect to the world because that's what she truly fears. That's what the relationship she's in. Every time she opens those apps, it's about something that's scaring women. Something they got to watch out for. We know this all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We know this. It was Chua didn't have no respect to the for the Most High. For her to listen to a serpent, not even a human being, but to listen to a serpent. She didn't even have a day to think this over. She didn't even go back to her man and say, hey, you know what this serpent told me? He told me if we do eat this, we be good, that we won't die. She didn't even go back to him, which was just a blatant show of disrespect. She listened to the first thing that came and talked to her that was outside her man. Then she did it and then tried to then went right back to him like, no, you should do it. You should do it too. I listened to this person. And that's why the curse, I don't even want to say if it's a curse, but that's why the covering has always been that we should rule over you. Because you need to learn the respect. So I'm going to go through not that many examples, but I think there are examples, or some of these examples should be eye-opening. I'm going to start with 1 Peter 3, 4 through 6. But let it be hidden, man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet ruach, which is in the sight of Elohim of great price. But let it be hidden, the hidden man of the heart, which means a man that does not show his emotions. Men come from logic, women come from emotions. And women get agitated when they can't see or antagonize a man's emotions because that's what they respond to. If you show no emotions to women, their minds go all over the place of what they assume you are thinking of them. When you show emotions, then they know how to handle you. But Paul is saying here, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet ruach. Men learning or knowing how to handle their emotions and not leading from the flesh, but leading from the ruach, which is in the sight of the Most High, a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in Yahuwah, adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own men. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women who trusted in Yah adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own men. That's the respect. Trusting in Yah to provide for you a covering for you to respect. And when you trust in Yah to do so, then there's no need to show this covering, the head of the household, any disrespect. Which also should follow, you should never be in fear of anything in the outside world because you trust in Yahuwah to set you under a covering that is righteous. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Adonai, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement, without fear. Now Sarah obeyed when she was near him. But Sarah was plagued by emotions. She wanted a son or a child so bad, instead of waiting for the Most High Yahuwah, she gave Abraham Hagar, and it was disgusted with herself when Hagar produced a son. Was upset at Hagar when she did exactly what she wanted Hagar to do. If this ain't the most female thing ever, your anxiety, your emotions get you to react. Then you get upset for the consequences. Instead of taking accountability, you say, you know what? I caused this to happen. I should have just trusted in the Most High Yahuwah and been patient. The fear of not having a child forced her to do this. So if we go to Genesis 15, we're going to talk about Abraham's fear. And that's going to lead into Sarah. Because we know in Genesis 15, verse 1, Yahuwah said in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham," or Abram, "I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Behold, the word of Yahuwah came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir," which his Eliezer, who was his servant, "but he that shall come forth out of your own generation shall be your heir." He told him it would be as your bloodline will be as numerable as the stars in the sky. And he believed in Yahuwah and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now we know that when Sarah got snatched up by Pharaoh and then getting snatched up again by Abimelech, Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place, and they will slay me for my woman's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my woman. And it came to pass when Yahuwah caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is your kindness which you shall show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother." So this is what Abraham had to go through, certain trials and tribulations, to understand the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. Now, he didn't show that fear of Yahuwah. He showed the fear that the fact that these nations didn't know Yahuwah. And he thought that only Yahuwah would show up in the places that were only around Yahuwah. So if he thought, if I go into this strange nation, obviously they worshiping all these other different gods, there is no fear of Yahuwah here. So I don't think Yahuwah would save me like he said he would, after he already said that he would be my shield, my exceeding great reward. Why would he cut me off no matter where I go? So Abraham had to understand this fear a couple of times. So when Sarah was snatched and then returned, plagued, busted all over this nation. Judgment, because he took what was Abraham's. And Abraham's like, okay, I understand it a little bit. But he must didn't understand it fully, because it comes back in Genesis 22:12. He says, "And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear Yahuwah, seeing you have not withheld your son, your kid from me." That's how far it had to go for Abraham to obviously understand that fear of the Most High Yahuwah. There is no part in the Bible or in the scriptures where women were chosen to go through such trials and tribulations because of fear. So this is why I say it's natural for women to be in fear of this world, because they truly don't understand the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. So going back to Joshua 23, sticking with the story of Abraham sacrificing Yitzhak, it says, "And while Abraham was proceeding with his son Yitzhak along the road, Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of contrite ruach. And he approached Abraham and said to him, are you silly or brutish that you go to do this thing this day to your kid? For Yahuwah gave you a son in your latter days, in your old age, and will you go and slaughter him this day because he committed no violence? And will you cause the soul of your kid to perish from the earth? Do you not know and understand that this thing cannot be from Yahuwah? For Yahuwah cannot do unto man such evil upon earth to say to him, go slaughter your child. And Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan, who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of Yahuwah. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan, and Abraham rebuked him so that he went away. That's the evidence for us, fellas. When we know we're on the path and we trust in Yahuwah, we have that fear of Yahuwah, we can't be rocked from the side or from the left to the right. This is what we know as being men of the household. Women don't have this type of story. So they're not saying no to the world. They're not rebuking the world for the events that's going to happen. They'd rather be in fear of it because that fear acts as a victim card for them to keep the conversations in their group chats of what to do next, what to be in fear of next. Always worrying, always busybodies, accomplishing nothing, absolutely nothing. And they bring this trauma into the household and it disrupts the head of the household, which is what Satan wants. Satan wants you to be in fear of his designs, his devices, his messages, his symbolisms. He wants you to be in fear. That is how everybody's going to get funneled into the one world religion, through fear. Fear of not being able to have food, fear not being able to clothe yourself, fear not being able to have money when you want it or use it. Fear is why people are going to start taking the mark. It didn't say he was going to make them take the mark. He said he's going to causing through fear. So that's Satan talking to your woman and all these social media apps with all the people Satan is connected to, the reprobates, and are exacerbating every storyline, every narrative, and every person who have not taken accountability for their trauma are bleeding it online for your woman to absorb, and then bringing it home and then wonder why she is never happy, at peace, or at joy. Because Satan is robbing that from her. She doesn't truly have the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. That comes from serving the Most High Yahuwah to have that bond and have that connection. And you men need to start making your wives do offerings too, so she can build up that covering, that hedge. Let me tone it down a little bit. I'm getting way too excited right now. Let's go to Jasher 23, 76 to see what went on at the same time. And Satan went to Sarah, and he appeared to her in the figure of an old man, very humble, the same way he appeared to Abraham. And Abraham was yet engaged in the ascending smoke offering before Yahuwah. And he said unto her, do you not know all the work that Abraham has made with your kid this day? For he took Yitzhak and built an altar and killed him and brought him up as a sacrifice upon the altar. And Yitzhak cried and wept before his father, but he looked not at him, neither did he have compassion over him. And Satan repeated these words, and he went away from her. Isn't that what the world does? Keeps repeating the same messages of fear, of doubt, of lying, of trauma to everybody who's attached to it. And it says, and Sarah heard all the words of Satan, and she imagined him to be an old man from amongst the sons of men who had been with her son and had come and told her these things. She could have rebuked it until Abraham came back to validate if that's what he actually did. Again, this works against Sarah's patience and her anxiety. The same story that played out before when she wanted the male child so bad that she gave Abraham Hagar. So obviously she didn't learn to control this emotion. So she was anxious for her son. That's why in scripture in the New Testament it says, do not place anybody above the Most High Yahuwah. Not wife, not husband, not son, not daughter, not mother, not father, anybody. And she should already know that what was told to Abraham when it came to he would have a bloodline as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in heaven, why would they cut off his only begotten son that could bring in multitudes of fruit? again, it goes back to the trust of the Most High Yahuwah. This is the difference now between logically thinking that the Most High got us. We trust him. He has pulled us out so many times out of crap situations. But soon as a messenger, it's just one person that came and repeated it to her. It wasn't like four or five other elders or old men came and said, hey, sir, dang, did you hear what Abraham was doing to your son? It was one person. And all he had to do is repeat the message so many times for her to be brainwashed with it, to be like, oh, my son is gone. Without any evidence, my son is gone. And what did they say what fear was? False evidence appearing real. I think that's what my mom used to tell me all the time. I don't even know if that's from the scriptures, but that's what she would say. And I'm pretty sure she got that from my grandmother, because my grandmother would say certain things. And it says, and Sarah lifted up her voice and wept and cried out bitterly on account of her son. And she threw herself upon the ground and she cast dust upon her head. And she said, oh, my son, Yitzhak, my son, oh, that I had this day died instead of you. And she continued to weep and said, it grieves me for you, O my son Yitzhak, oh, that I had died this day in your stead. And she still continued to weep and said, it gives me for you after that I have reared you and have brought you up. Now my joy is turned into mourning over you. I had a longing for you and cried and prayed to Yahuwah till I bore you at 90 years old. And now have you served this day for the knife and the fire to be made an offering. Switching back now to Jasher 23, starting at 29. And Satan returned and came to Isaac this time, Yitzhak. And he appeared unto Yitzhak in the figure of a young man, comely and well-favored. And he approached Yitzhak and said unto him, do you not know and understand that your old silly father brings you to the slaughter this day for naught? Now therefore, my son, do not listen nor attend to him, for he is a silly old man. Let not your precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth. And Yitzhak heard this and said unto Abraham, have you heard, my father, that which this man has spoken? Even thus has he spoken? See, man logic. Go back and communicate with the logical person. Not jump to conclusions. Not let anxiety, fear, emotions overrun him. But he went to who he knew his father trusted in. He said, well, if Yahuwah told you to do this, let me go back and ask the source. So he went back and brought it up to Abraham. This ain't what Eve Chua did when she said that, when the serpent said that, go ahead and eat this fruit, nothing will happen to you. She listened to the serpent, Sarah. She listened to Satan. She didn't go anywhere else to find out if this is what really happened to her son. I don't know why y'all not surprised more. I don't know why y'all show such surprise when the women in this generation are latched holding on to fear of this world, because they haven't known an Abraham. They haven't known a Yahuwah. This is all fairly new. Like I said before, the day they came into this world, the world had to tell them what to watch out for. Either be wicked men, wicked friends, wicked parents, the quote-unquote patriarch. Because that's what feminism has done to the minds of these women. Is that if you can't be equal to men, don't let men be over you. So the lack of respect, the lack of trust, is what disrupts their relationships. And like I said before, I don't know what type of women y'all got. But if they are in fear of what's going on the outside world, that means they have more respect for Satan than they have of Yahuwah. I know that sounds harsh, but that's exactly what it is. Satan runs this world of flesh, this world that's been laid out in numerology that I talked about countless times on this show. The more you see the pattern and the more you recognize the pattern, you lose the respect and fear. You know that whoever's touched, They were meant to be touched because they do not follow the Most High Yahuwah. I was like that when these Negroes were getting slaughtered by police. The first thing came on my mind was, were they following the law, statutes, and commandments? Because it's truly the Most High that has power to kill and make alive, and none can snatch them out of his hand. So if the Most High didn't want them to be saved, he would not save them. This is like a running program on social media right now, that when children get raped or harmed, they're saying that, oh, I'm more righteous than God, because if I had the power, I would stop children from being raped and killed. Mind you, they take out the aspect of one evil thing, but they do 20 evil things day in and day out. It's just the one thing they hate, that they think the Most High Yahuwah should step in and stop kids from being raped. Meanwhile, you are also fornicating, lying, stealing, you know, harming others, either physically or emotionally. But because you have such a disdain for one sin, you think God isn't who he say he is, or he isn't righteous because he doesn't step in and stop the one sin you hate. That's just running online right now. It's a hilariously ironic wave of atheists right now trying to use scripture to go against God. And they say the Christian God instead of the Israelite God. So that just shows you where their mind frame is when trying to attack scripture. But like I said, it comes from the world. Everybody's understanding, when they try to go into scripture and go against the Most High God, it comes from their understanding of this world and how it works. And they are not understanding of the law, statutes, commandments that were given to mankind that says, if you do this, you shall live. If you don't do this, you shall die. And if you have parents, or if you have a bloodline that have shown that they have hated me, I will visit the sins of the forefathers into the fourth and fifth generation. So when things happen to children, just like they're happening in scripture, the Most High has to remove sin altogether. And at the end of the day, you don't know where these children are going to end up. They're going to end up in the bosom of Abraham. So they're blessed from being taken out of this world or destroyed from this world anyway. But that's how the Most High sees it. Y'all think these children are completely damned once their lives are cut off at a very young age. We don't know what goes on beyond the veil, that the Most High has a special place for them. Better parents, better relatives. We don't know this. We just see the people getting removed, or sin looking like it's conquering the entire world. But we don't know beyond the veil the true purpose of the Most High's ways. But we do know, if we follow this Torah, none of this should happen to us. I think we were a prime example of that. We wouldn't have to get thrown into rivers, snatched out of our houses, used as the alligator bait, if we just accepted the Torah, lived righteously, and did not transgress. Or matter of fact, he was only really pissed at one sin, which was going after foreign gods that could not eat, smell, or breathe. That's what really pissed him off. I think the other sins that he could work with us, but he wouldn't have sent us in captivity as much as he did if it wasn't for us going after other nations' gods. At the end of the day, we shouldn't even accept it, the covenant, if we truly weren't going to follow it as a nation. Because we would be exactly what these other nations are today. That's how we would rule this world, but we would have been ruling it just like them. Would you think the first pedophiles, the first rapists, the first sexually immoral people on earth were? They were black people. You think he ain't seen this before? He knew exactly where it would go if we were in charge. We'd be, if not just as worse as the Europeans. We would have done the same thing. Look at us. We have no power, but look how hypersexual we are. There is no white Megan Thee Stallion, no white Cardi B's, no white sexy reds. We have no power, but we think we have power because we can show our body, we show our skin. So just imagine if we had power, exactly where it would go. It would have been way worse than days of Noah. because we have technology to move everything faster. But let me get back to the story. Now, therefore, my son, do not listen nor attend to him, for he is a silly old man. Let not your precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth. And Yitzhak heard this and said unto Abraham, have you heard, my father, that which this man has spoken? Even thus has he spoken? And Abraham answered his son Yitzhak and said to him, take heed of him and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him, for he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of Yahuwah. And Abraham still rebuked Satan, and Satan went from them, and seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them. He went and passed before them in the road, and he transformed himself to a large brook of water in the road. Transformed. If he can transform or masquerade as an angel of light, this man can certainly lay down and be water. And Abraham and Yitzhak and his two young men reached that place, and they saw a brook large and powerful as the mighty waters. And Abraham said to his son, Yitzhak, I know this place, which there was no brook, no water. Now, therefore, it is Satan who does all this to us, to draw us aside this day from the commands of Yahuwah. And Abraham rebuked him and said unto him, Yahuwah rebuke you, O Satan, be gone from us, for we go by the commands of Yahuwah. And Satan was terrified. The most powerful angel that can masquerade as an angel of light that deceived the entire world was scared and terrified of Abraham's words. Somebody who literally transformed himself to make them think that their path was full of water. He was terrified of them. One of the most powerful seraphims that was in the kingdom of the Most High Yahuwah, terrified by a mortal man, especially after we know exactly what he did to Job and his entire family. Yet he is scared of Abraham. And I guarantee you, Abraham heard the story of Job. Had to. Because Abraham was connected to the Most High Yahuwah. So just understanding that a little bit, he could say to Satan, rebuke you, even when he knows Satan could easily remove him off this earth. But he trusted in the Most High Yahuwah. He did not trust in the world because he knew the world is fake. If he knew that he could disguise himself as water when he knew where he passed over before was dry land, that's Abraham knowing and understanding that this world is fake. If I'm not in connection with righteousness, I could fall in this stumbling block. So when you say your wives are in fear or scared of the events that are going to happen, it's because they don't truly understand this place and how fake it is. They get wrapped up in how fake this world is, and it causes real emotions. But that's why I said we have so many stories and examples of Abraham showing that you don't need to have fear because it's the Most High that'll make a way for you if you walk in uprightness and righteousness, if you truly show a respect for the Most High Yahuwah. That's just something that's between men and men understand. For example, we all had an old head or somebody we respected that gave us a gift that we thought that gift was more powerful than anything that could ever be given to us. So if somebody went behind our back, or if somebody came to us and said something about our old head or something about somebody that we respected deeply because they gave us a gift, you won't even listen to that person. You don't even listen. You'd be like, yo, I'm not gonna allow you to disrespect him. We will even end up fighting this person over somebody we truly have a deep respect for. It doesn't work that way with women. Like I said, I don't know the women y'all date or the women y'all live with. But in my experience, they're catty. When another woman comes to another woman saying, oh, I know something about this woman, they tend to listen. It ain't never, oh, let me step away from this drama. It's, okay, let me listen. And then I'll decide, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then they jump on group chats. Then they make subliminal posts. Then they go create another group chat with this other friend that talks about that friend. It's just drama that goes around and around and around in circles. But when it comes to men and that deep respect, We either going to throw hands or you're not going to say another word to me about somebody I respect. It's just something we understand being around men or being in locker rooms or just male to male understanding. So some of us understood this type of respect and we know that it eventually flows upward. So if you had an uncle or a brother or older brother or somebody or a father that you deeply respected, when you grow in the word and you know that they're attached to the world and they no longer serve your purposes or serve the respect that you wanting to give to them, the respect flows upward to the Most High Yahuwah. And when you have that connection with the Most High Yahuwah, you trust in him. That respect flows. That's where the hedge is being built up, being obedient, being trustworthy, being faithful. That is how we learn to be better coverings, because we have that respect. It's hard for women to understand that respect because they truly never went through that guy code. So that's why most women don't respect men. It's because the men that they dated or the men that they've been with have been disrespectful. And because women live on trauma and they live on this victim card, because there's an audience for it. I'm going to say this time and time again. There is an audience for people to listen to other people's problems. I have not been in a room where people just want to listen to what people conquered and what people beat. I don't ever be in those rooms. But just being online, I'm in people's timelines and in their stories of how all these men have treated these women so bad. And I can just imagine they date the same men in different coverings. And they complain because they know there's an audience for them to complain about the men that they choose. Instead of saying, damn, I really gotta fix the wiring inside me to choose better men. No, they get more attention. And that's what it's about, the attention they get from sharing their traumatic stories of men that they decided to live with, they decided to date, they decided to bring into their world. Men don't go online all the time and talk about, oh, this woman did this, this, this. You just sound like a simp. You sound stupid. And there's a lot of men that correct men who start to come out and start sounding like women. Oh, she did this to me, that to me. You know what she would do. You know what type of woman you was working with. Some men even laugh about it. Like, I knew she was a hoe. This was just my turn. And they would laugh that off. There were some men that are broken, but men don't make it a whole identity of the women that they date that hurt them or betrayed them or cheated on them. So let's go now back to Sarah. And she came with her maidservants and men servants to Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron. And she asked concerning her son, and she remained there while she sent some of her servants to seek where Abraham had gone with Yitzhak. They went to seek him in the house of Shem and Eber. They could not find him, and they sought throughout the land, and he was not there. And behold, Satan came to Sarah again in the shape of an old man, and he came and stood before her, and he said unto her, I spoke falsely unto you, for Abraham did not kill his son, and he is not dead. And when she heard the word, her joy was so exceedingly violent on account of her son that her soul went out through joy. She died and was gathered to her people. This is why when you go back to 1 Peter 3:6, it says, even as Sarah obeyed, calling him Adonai, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Paul had to know the story of why Sarah died. She died because of fear. Fear and amazement. Because she trusted in what the world told her, not what Yahuwah told her, not what Yitzhak told her, not what Abraham told her, but what Satan told her, i.e. the world. I like to talk about Leah and Rachel. Jubilees 29, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Laban went to shear his sheep, for they were distant from him a 3 days' journey. And Yaakov saw that Laban was going to shear his sheep. And Yaakov called Leah and Rachel and spoke kindly unto them that they should come with him to the land of Canaan. for he told them how he had seen everything in a dream, even all that he had spoken unto him that he should return to his father's house. And they said, to every place whither you go, we will go with you. That is the trust, because that's because they both knew that Yaakov, before he became Yasharel, was connected to Yahuwah. So if Yaakov trusted wholeheartedly with the respect and fear of Yahuwah, because these women are holy women and they set up the patriarch, they didn't speak against him. They didn't say, oh, foolish dreamer. Everybody got dreams. And mind you, they were in a house where their father was an idol worshiper, where he would take the sacrificed dead and they would put a name of the person they would want to call out into this skull that was on top of some effigy or some altar they had built to it. And that's how he found out where Yaakov was, because he was talking to demons. So basically demon worship. That's the house they came out of. You know how upright and righteous you got to be as a man to bring two women that are sisters out of their father's household? That means Yaakov must have shown them something that they didn't see in their entire life. And mind you, the women then is a whole lot different from the women today. You got to damn near show a lot. You got to show a lot, do a lot. But for them, knowing that their father was a demon worshiper, they had never been around a man like Yaakov before. And the fact that this man only had to say, look, I had in the dream that we need to leave from here. And none of them spoke against him. None of them interjected and say, nah, I got to stay here with my father. Nah, where are you going to go? You ain't got all the animals and all the livestock that he has. Nah, you ain't got no money. They didn't say that. What did they say? To every place where you go, we will go with you. So when it came to Leah's death in Jubilees 36, 21, and 23, Leah, his woman, died in the fourth year of the second week of the 45th Jubilee, and he buried her in the double cave near Ribkah, his mother, to the left of the grave of Sarah, his father's mother, and all her sons, and his sons came to mourn over Leah, his woman, with him to comfort him regarding her, for he was lamenting her, for he loved her exceedingly after Rachel, her sister, died. So he started off not even wanting Leah. He wanted Rachel. And the Most High closed Rachel's womb because Leah was being hated. So that's why Leah popped out four boys. Which are, if you were the tribe of Yahuwah, you come from Leah. We come from that. Leah is our mother. For she was perfect and upright in all her ways and honored Yaakov. And all the days that she lived with him, he did not hear from her mouth a harsh word, for she was gentle and peaceable and upright and honorable. And he remembered all her deeds which she had done during her life. And he lamented her exceedingly, for he loved her with all his heart and with all his soul. With just that paragraph or those scriptures about Leah, which is not many scriptures that talk about the emotions or the deeds of the women that the righteous men had, this says that she never was in fear. She didn't care for the world. That wasn't her duty. That's not her job. And that's what y'all need to start telling your wives. Your job is not to worry about the world. Your job is not to honor what the world says is going to happen. Scripture told us what will happen. We know that it's going to be a lot of demon worship going on. We know it's going to be a lot of haughty and high-minded people. There's all types of scriptures that talks about the mind frame of what people are going to be in this world. We all know eventually we're going to have to see the beast and the mark of the beast. What is there to be ever afraid of when he has told us the end from the beginning? I think you should show more respect to the man who's allowing it to happen, but saving you from certain trials and tribulations because he's giving you a path to his hedge and to his covering, to his protection that goes through your man up to him. If you have a fear of what's coming on in the events of this world, it's because you truly do not honor the Most High Yahuwah. You do not have a righteous fear of the Most High Yahuwah. And if you don't have a fear of the Most High Yahuwah, how could you ever have a fear and respect for the person he has given you to be a covering when he shows strength and shows knowledge about what's going to come and happen and what's going to be done in these end times? How? Now, I know some of you women are married to these men and you pushing your man to these limits. And this is why I think why men cheat. Men don't cheat because they're always so lustful. Men cheat, or men go to where they're honored and adored. That's where they go. I have not known a man who had a side chick who was disrespectful. I have not seen it. A man is not going to go from one disrespectful house into another disrespectful house. I don't care how good the coochie is. He ain't going to do it. Men flee when they're not being respected. That's why men start to tear off, because when they're not being respected. And just imagine what the Most High Yahuwah has done to Yasharel when he's not being in fear of or respected. Destruction happens. It usually follows after that. Now, if you have an unrighteous man, look, you set your own self up, because that's the man you choose to date. A man that is not awakened, and a man that is living off his own lust, and he is the god of his own flesh, the god of his own world, he could do whatever he wants. But I guarantee you the baseline of him leaving or doing other stuff behind your back is because of a respect. Maybe he don't deserve that respect in his mind. He may be respectful to you, or he may earn this respect from you. But if he's living unrighteously, he's still going to believe that he deserves respect. So the awakened man and the unawakened man both have the same understanding of what respect is. It's just we respect our Heavenly Father and know that we know what we're doing. He has put us in charge of a household. An unawakened man would say he's the god of his household, that he lives by his own rules. So whatever happens, happens. So if it's unrighteousness that's poured out on top of you, you should know that you picked an unrighteous man. And I'm pretty sure, because men are so simple, they will have demonstrated to you if they're unrighteous or not. Now that we know what the bar is, now that we know through the characters in scripture, we should already know what that bar is. And we should hold every man to that bar. The first time you see a sign of disrespect, you should pull out. If that man don't come to you and say anything about Yahuwah or anything about God or serving God, you might as well pull on back. Because the sowing and reaping is happening in such dramatic and fast speeds, you do not want to be caught online in these news stories about your head being chopped off somewhere or you being thrown in the ditch. I've seen so many stories about women just dating from their flesh and end up in really crappy situations. I'm not saying you should use that as fear. It shouldn't be fear. Because what happens to women when they go on vacations with men and they find themselves dead? They are around men who are not following scripture. So it's hard for me to have any compassion for people when the answers are right there. I know it sucks to say, because we once lived like that, where we thought we were all Christians and we could live and do whatever we wanted, and nothing should touch us because we're Christians and we're sinners, and he feels so bad for us because we're made in this, in his image, in this way to be sinful, you know, because of the first married couple. We thought like that nothing should ever happen to us. And people get a rude awakening. It doesn't matter how nice you are, how peaceable you are. Everybody can get touched when you are not in these commandments, in these statutes, showing the Most High Yahuwah a respect. So it really shouldn't be just you doing ordinances, statutes, feast days, and you ordering certain things. You should bring your wife into offerings and showing a certain respect for the Most High Yahuwah, building up that respect for him, or that fear of him, so that respect can trickle down to your covering. If you are a woman listening to me and you are married, I wonder if you women ever read Sirach, specifically Sirach from the 20s to like the, I think, 36 to 37. So like I said, I don't know the type of women y'all date, so maybe the women that are mentioned in these scriptures, maybe it's your woman. I'll start with Sirach 36:23. If there be kindness, meekness, and comfort in her tongue, then is not her man like other men? Because this type of woman don't choose unrighteous men, wicked men, disrespectful men. This type of woman chooses a righteous man. So of course her man is not like other men. So that's all usually, fellas, based on you and how you are leading. Now, I ain't saying you got to be a simp, but I'm saying it usually all falls in line when you as a husband are unwavering to the trust and fear of Yahuwah. Sirach 36:24, he that gets a woman begins a possession, a help like unto himself, and a pillar of rest. He that, where no hedge is, there the possession is spoiled. And he that has no woman will wander up and down mourning. Where no hedge is, there the possession is spoiled. And he that has no woman will wander up and down mourning. So if you jump from bed to bed, having countless girlfriends, going on countless dates, you do not have a possession. You have a trial. You're going through a 7-day trial basis. You are renting. You are leasing somebody. And sure enough, when you are not given or you're not found a possession, every woman you touch will be spoiled. And the woman you get after somebody else already had her had been spoiled. Until you trust in the Most High Yahuwah and have that fear of him first, then he will put you with somebody. Sirach 26:24, a dishonest woman contemns shame, but an honest woman will reverence her man. A woman that honors her man shall be judged wise of all, but she that dishonors him in her pride shall be counted wicked of all. Usually these type of women are the ones that fear the world and fear what Satan tells them over the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. The beauty of a woman cheers the countenance, and a man loves nothing better. Proverbs 31:12-27, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. When you become too afraid of the events that are going on in this world, it's because you're in idleness. Idleness doesn't always have to mean that you're doing absolutely nothing. It could be you are not serving the Most High Yahuwah. It should be capable for you to serve your husband and also serve the Most High Yahuwah. It depends on what the role that he has called you to serve. But if you are a single woman, you should be serving the Most High Yahuwah. Because I guarantee you, the man that you want, the man of your dreams, is not going to show up until you learn to serve the Most High Yahuwah, because I guarantee you the man that he brings to you, who will be righteous, who will cover you, who will give you everything you need, he will need the same respect as you give Yahuwah, because he's the one that's covering. So when he admonishes or when he corrects what needs to go on in the household, it's going to come through the husband. It's going to come through the covering first. If there's something wrong with the house, with the roof, he's not going to go to you to fix it. He's going to go to your husband to fix it. And what I mean metaphorically is if that roof has a problem with how he's treating you or how he's taking care of the household or taking care of business, the money, the food, things that's needed for the house, if he's lacking any of these departments, the Most High is going to come to him first. So you don't ever have to worry about, oh, I'm with an unrighteous man. When this man is going to hit me, or when he's going to cheat on me. You don't have to think about these things anymore. Definitely don't have to think about these things anymore. Not to say they won't happen, because obviously we know what David did. But I'm saying, for the most part, he's not going to bring somebody into your world that you would have to second guess. And it sucks for you females, because y'all come from such horrible relationships where you hold on to these relationships and the things that happen to you, and you bring them in like baggage to the next situation, and a righteous man had to deal with that. He had to show the patience to deal with what somebody else broke. Certain men just ain't fix-its. Mr. Fix-It. Some men ain't gonna pull out their tool bag and be like, oh, I'm gonna keep fixing this problem. Some men ain't gonna do that. That relies on you. You know, you need to know the difference between trusting the Most High Yahuwah and then trusting your flesh. When you was in these unrighteous relationships, you trusted your flesh. So when you come into a righteous relationship, it seems foreign to you. Anything that seems foreign, you need to rely on old comfort behaviors to get you through. And that's going to cause disruption. But again, it ain't going to come from the husband. It's going to come from Yahuwah. Because if the man is in order, he's going to make sure that woman's in order. Without the man, without the covering even needing to say something. So my man who's having an issue with your woman so concerned about concerned about worldly events, you make sure you are in order. That's what I could say to you. Make sure you are in order. Make sure that fear, that trust never wavers with the Most High Yahuwah. And the Most High Yahuwah will tap her back in line without you ever needing to say anything or do anything. You just continue in the strength and the trust and the fear of Yahuwah. And I guarantee you, the holy angels that act as messengers from Yahuwah would make sure she understands that. But like I said, it's a process, bro. It is a process. It is a process what the world has done to the minds of women in this generation. It is a process. It's not an overnight fix. It's never an overnight fix because you're not dealing with logic. You're dealing with emotions. Like I showed you before, what Yitzhak did, he didn't rely on emotions. This is what Abraham did. He didn't rely on emotions. Only Sarah, when somebody told her something and repeated it, she's like, oh, it had to be true because it's being repeated to me. And then he came back and lied to her. Like, oh, no, I was lying. He alive. God was so excited, damn near had a heart attack and died. Off emotion. Anxiety. And he must have known the story. Satan himself must have known the story of what happened with Hagar and her getting pregnant and all that. I guarantee you, Satan must have saw and understood this story of why he chose Sarah to bring a child into this world through a womb that was 90 years old. I guarantee you, Satan was nearby. Just as fast as Satan called when he wanted to point out what Job was doing, what Abraham was doing, to try them, Satan was right there. It was like, yo, go find Satan and have him come up to me. No, it's when the angels came to stand in front of Yahuwah, Satan, he'd be like, all right, what's going on? I got to know what's going on. I know everything that's going on in my world. What's going on? Why are we drawing our attentions to these mortals? And then he went to work with the knowledge that he knew affected women more than an affected man. Which is funny because he went at Abraham, trying to make him question the Most High Yahuwah, but he went at Yitzhak as a young, favorable man, attractive man, trying to butter him up. Like, Mel, you're gorgeous. You're beautiful. You don't need to die. You got so much living to go. You got so much to do in this world. Why die? He was trying to butter him up, trying to play to his vanity. So many people are being swayed by Satan in this world just off of that. Wanting you or trying to get you to second guess the Most High Yahuwah and then going to you through vanity. It should be so easy to see. But yet most females do not see it. Why would they? The world that congratulates them, the world that puts them on a pedestal, why would they distrust that world? If there's a Women's History Month, if there's always a fight against equal rights, if there's always abortion rights conversations, if there's always symbols and images of females being the leader in the household, why wouldn't women want to listen to this world? Look at what's been set up for them. You as a man have to tear it down righteously. And I'm not saying through arguments and vain discussions. I'm saying through leading and showing that you don't have that fear that they have. And after a while, they look silly being afraid of something that's fake. You should just laugh, keep laughing at it in front of them. Because eventually, shame works the same way any teaching tool does. People don't want to be stupid. Just like people don't want to be shamed or feel ashamed about something they don't know. It's on you to play it, whatever the Ruach tells you how to play it. But I truly hope this isn't the case for all you other husbands that are dealing with female issues. I truly don't. I mean, I could have brought up the story of Yehudith, but she was a widow. She was already on that I don't give a damn phase. Like, I ain't got no man. I'm up here by myself. I'm fasting most of the time. I'm ready to get it popping. It ain't those type of days, you know? So I couldn't bring that example up. But do all things with prayer and fasting, and know that the Most High Yahuwah has got us, and we trust in Him to fix anything that we struggle with or struggle in, truly. So it's nothing to fear, ladies. Never. Never anything to fear. Just be a righteous woman. Just be Leah. You should have an extreme trust and fear of your man, especially when he knows how to do things right. That he's not leading you astray. And if you're a woman that's trying to find a man, I'm telling you, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to watch your mouth. Because the Most High is not going to bring in a righteous man to your aggravation. So it starts with you being accountable for yourself before he brings in a man that's accountable for you.